You got your bell. You know what this is? The bell? It's reminding us we're going to have a bell ringing service, aren't we?
At home.
Yeah.
St. Nicholas left me Santa jammies.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, those are the hard things for all of us parents, right? Come here, honey. Come on down. There you go. Good girl. Thanks for coming. Oh, it's okay. Here, you walk. Here, here. Can you take this back with you? It's okay. That's a perfect example of how you can have joy even when you're not happy, right? God always provides illustration. That's a perfect example. And you don't have to just be a little kid, 1 year old. Believe me, there are adults I know that also have learned the gift of joy when their hearts are breaking, when they are filled with deep sorrow, because they know that if you've got Jesus, then, my friends, you've got more than enough. And He is the reason that we live each day. Joy, 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 down in my heart to stay. Well, it's Advent 3. And you know that when Advent 2 and Advent 3 come along, every year, whether it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke, you're going to hear about John. John, whom we usually think of that miraculous birth to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age when they couldn't have any kids. John, the cousin kind of related to Jesus, 6 months older, right? When you think about John, you think about him out in the wilderness eating funny food and dressed kind of ridiculously. And then you think about him doing what? John the Baptist. Not Lutheran, not Methodist, not Roman Catholic. John the Baptist. No, not a denomination, but because he was out there and he was baptizing people, right? But tonight's gospel is from John. And I don't know if you noticed, but John's not really remembered for baptizing. That's not the main thing. In the gospel of John, John says, I was sent to bear witness. I was sent to give testimony. The gospel of John begins in a courtroom, and it ends there when Jesus is on trial before Pontius Pilate. The Gospel of John begins with ascending, and it ends with ascending. John the Baptizer, better known as John the one who gives testimony, John the Witness, at the beginning of the Gospel. And at the end of the Gospel, Jesus, the resurrected one, will breathe upon his disciples and he will say, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. Things just keep wrapping around in the Gospel of John. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the witness. That's the testimony of John. John the Witness, who also is baptizing. But for a particular reason. Because there is one who stands among you, whom you do not know. And John was told when he was sent by the sent one, the sender of all senders, huh? He was sent and he was assured that when you are baptizing, there will come a day when you will see the Spirit descend and remain on the chosen one, the Son of God, Messiah. John doesn't know who it is. No one else knows who it is, but he's baptizing because it's going to be the way that revelation will take place. But when someone asks John about himself, he says, I'm not really here to talk about myself. I'm here for only one reason, to bear witness, to give testimony. The word for witness and testimony, martereo or martyria, from which we get the word martyr, it's used 46 times in the Gospel of John. And only 6 times witnessing or giving testimony in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined. The sent one is sending. We are the sent out ones. And we are sent out to bear witness, to give testimony. Under oath, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. And so when the trial scene comes at the end of the gospel and Jesus is before Pilate, what will Pilate say? What is truth? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he doesn't see him. One whom you do not know or recognize stands in your midst. And the whole purpose of being here for witness and testimony is so that people might come to believe, and that by believing, they might have life in the name of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, another thing that we're very familiar with is what's called ego eimi. I am. It's an emphatic way. But when Jesus says, ego eimi, and he says it 26 times, emphatically, he is saying that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is the God revealed in the burning bush to Moses. He's calling himself God. And that could get him crucified, and most certainly will. Ego eimi, I am. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am emphatic. Every time, the true vine, the good shepherd, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Now, this is important in John's gospel. 26 times. But even more so because when those who are sent by the opposition to interrogate John, the witness, under oath, he'll begin with, "Uk ego eimi," I am not. He begins his witness and his testimony with a disclaimer because he wants to make sure that everyone knows who he is not. He's not a pretender. He's not all about himself. He realizes that it's all about Jesus. More of thee, less of me. John said, John the witness, the baptizer said, he must increase, I must decrease. Jesus said, of those born among women, no one is greater than John. And yet, whoever is least in the kingdom is greater than John. Sent out to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Witnessing, giving testimony. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. About 200 years ago, there was another John. His name was John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination. And he was close friends with a man by the name of George Whitefield, who baptized way more people and preached way more sermons to more people than John Wesley ever did. They were best of friends, and they were both servants of the gospel. But then these two ambassadors for Christ had a terrible falling out. And the terrible falling out was because George Whitefield would not budge from his staunch adherence to Calvinist doctrine. And remember, Wesley was a Methodist. And so, there was an occasion when someone approached George Whitefield and said, "So, when you get to heaven, do you expect to see John Wesley there?" And George Whitefield looked at him and said, "No." And the questioner said, "That's what I figured you'd say." And George Whitefield said, "No, you don't understand. You see, John Wesley will be so near the throne of our Lord Jesus Christ that there's no way that I'll be able to see him way up there." More of thee, less of me. All the proclamation that George Whitefield did, and even though he dug in his heels when it came to matters of theology, he knew that his brother John Wesley loved Jesus and believed in Christ as much or more than he ever could hope to. It's not about me. That's what John the Baptist is saying. That's what John Wesley was saying. That's what George Whitefield was saying. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. You know, this time of the year, a lot of people are going and visiting Santa and stuff, and And that's good stuff as long as we keep reminding people that Santa represents St. Nicholas, right? As long as we teach people the truth. But a lot of times we go to Santa and we start saying, well, what do you want for Christmas? And I want lots of presents. I mean, we do, especially when we're young, right? But then we have to remind ourselves and each other, whose birthday is this? It's Jesus' birthday. And when it's our birthday, I suppose we do get presents. So who should get the presents when we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We become so preoccupied during these hectic, crazy, busy days of Advent that we can, in fact, get distracted from the main thing. And we start focusing upon you, me, myself, I, maybe others. Well, I've got to do this. I've got to go see this family. I've got to get them a present. And before you know it, the one that gets lost in all of it is the one who promises to come. And we might miss him. The birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John the Witness says, it's not about me. Are you the Christ? I am not. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet, Moses? I am not. In other words, no. Right? That's pretty emphatic, right? Someone offers you a snack and you say, no. Emphatic, right? Yes. John begins by telling everyone, clarifying what we call disclaimers, to make sure that people don't confuse him with what the importance of these days is all about. Well, we've been sent to get an answer. So tell us then, if you're not the Christ, you're not Elijah, you're not Moses, then why are you baptizing? I mean, who are you? And Paul, the only thing that John will say is he said, well, I'm not the Word, I'm just the voice of one crying, make straight the way of the Lord. I'm baptizing because I've been promised that this is how revelation will happen, that disclosure will happen, that I and you, that we will see the Son of God in and through this means. It may be a mystery, but it's what God has promised. And so we bank on the promises of God. We believe, we trust, and by believing, we have life in His name. Witnessing, testimony. Not always because we're eager to do it. Eva had lost her husband 6 months earlier after a long bout of cancer. And Eva and her husband, Steve, had known each other. They began dating when they were 15 years old. They raised a family, 4 kids together. They built a business from ground up, and they watched it completely collapse together. They did everything together. They even battled cancer together. And they did it all trusting in the mercy and grace of Almighty God, as Jesus was their Lord and their Savior. And now Eva's heart was heavy as she was still grieving the loss of her husband. And then she got a phone call from a good friend, a member of her church, a woman by the name of Rhonda. And Rhonda said, my dad is dying of cancer, and you know what this is like. Can you come over and visit with my father? Now, it wasn't just because Rhonda's father was dying. What you need to understand is that Rhonda's father had never gone to church and never believed in Jesus Christ his whole life. And so Rhonda was not just concerned about her father dying. She was concerned about her father's soul, his salvation, his relationship with Jesus Christ, which is of eternal significance. Rhonda said, I gave up my job. I quit my classes. She was going to nursing school, she said, so that I can take care of Dad. Will you come over? You know what this is like. And so Eva said yes. But Eva, she kept complaining about it, because we don't always like being sent. She said, Lord, you know, I'm still wounded. I'm still grieving my own loss. Don't you think you could find somebody else? And as she's driving over to the place, she's still having this conversation, this praying without ceasing type of stuff with God, saying, can't you send somebody else? I don't want to be sent right now. And then she finally surrendered. She said, okay, Lord, have thine own way. You do what you want to do. He went up, knocked on the door, went inside. And there was Rhonda at the meter, and Rhonda took Eva back to the room where her father was. And Eva said that when she went in there, she didn't expect Rhonda's father, Walter, to look so tiny and so frail. There was hardly anything left of him. She sat right down next to Walter. She took Walter's hand. And Eva said, Walter, I lost my husband 6 months ago. You never met him. You don't know him. But I want you to know that I held his hand during the end. And I'm here to be with you too. And all of a sudden, this kind of frail, listless man, he sat up and he started singing. He was singing like Handel's Messiah. He was singing praise and glory to God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Rhonda was right outside the door. She thought, what's going on with my dad? And then, all of a sudden, in the midst of the singing and the praising, Walter says, I see him. I see your husband, Steve. He's right there with Jesus. He never met Steve. He didn't even know Eva's husband's name. Some things are just a mystery, folks, and you can't explain them. But tears were streaming down Rhonda's face as she waited outside the door and as she realized that she had prayed and prayed and prayed for her father's salvation. And now somehow, miraculously, in spite of Eva, who didn't want to be sent, God had brought him to faith. Such is the grace of God. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness have we all received grace upon grace. Walter only lived 3 more days after that. But for those 3 days, he was always talking about Jesus. And he was singing with his raspy voice every chance he got. And Eva was thanking God in her brokenness and woundedness that God had restored her joy, even though she had resisted being sent. Who are you? We need an answer for the ones who have sent us. Funny, isn't it? You see, they've got a commission. So do we. We are the sent ones. Who are you? I am not the light. I'm just a penny piece of pottery. I am not the light. I'm just an Advent bulb. I am not the bread of life. I am just a plastic bag, a little twisty. I am not the good shepherd. I am a Lamb of God that's been lost and found by the grace of God. I am not the true vine. I've just been grafted on by God's mercy. We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are not. Years ago on The Tonight Show, there used to be a host called Johnny Carson. For some of you, it's before your time. But I bet you, even if you're young, you probably heard the name. And he had a sidekick that always introduced him. You know what his name was? Ed McMahon. You know him, right? Publisher's House giveaway, too. Remember that stuff? Ed McMahon's job was to kind of soften the people up and to get them ready for the main guy. Remember what he'd say? Here's Johnny, right? It wasn't about Ed McMahon. And it was never about Johnny. Not John Wesley. Not John the Witness Baptizer. Not about Johnny Carson. Uk egeu emi. I am not. And neither are you. He must increase. We must decrease. And our call, our sending, is simply this. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen.